Welcome to church. Just lift up your hands and worship Him. King of kings, the Lord of lords, I am that I am. Just worship Him. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the power belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the glory belongs to you.
Just worship.
Glory belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the glory belongs to you. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven.
Through the pains of the traffic, okay, to make it down here, then just be here, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So now you I see this morning for 7 up. Abi? For this star side. Are you I see? Hallelujah. Amen. No worries, because of your couple. That's why. That's how he has been dressed since morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You're welcome to church. I'm sure that you've had a wonderful week. Hallelujah. You know, once it's Wednesday, the week is over as far as I'm concerned. Once it's Wednesday, because we come on Thursday, then Friday is a walkover. Thank God it's Friday. Hallelujah. But bless God and thank Him because we are alive. Hallelujah. How many of you followed the 25th anniversary service online? Amen. Oh, yeah, tell me one scripture that you got from the 25th anniversary. Did you raise your hand? Yeah, tell me one scripture. Oh, yeah, now. Which day did you follow? Because it's 25 years of morning services at Surpassing Grace Assembly, Ibadan. So the first morning service was held on the 2nd of July, 2000. Amen. So which scripture came out to you if you followed?
I never see, oh. Wonder. I never see this kind of God before, oh. Wonder. This God. You people.
Amen. So, I mean, it was a wonderful time. I mean, I think I didn't get there day one. I got there day two. I was there day three. And they succeeded in keeping me till Sunday. Hallelujah. But it was a wonderful time. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 3 should really come to you. Hallelujah. And that's where the theme of the program came out from, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It talked about from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was just wonderful. And how many of you got something from God as you are listening? Amen. Yeah, I didn't. I'm not going to tell you to come and tell me. See, this is what you got for God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go tell you. But it's just so to say that anytime we find ourselves in that kind of environment or listening to God's word, we need to latch on and be sure that it's time well spent. Hallelujah. You know, it can be in a training room, in a training class, and hear what was said, and you're not listening. Well, there are two different things. So you can hear my voice, and then somebody is listening. So if you hear and you're not listening, you're not absorbing everything, then there's a problem. So sometimes we are in trainings, especially all these online, while you're in training, you'll be doing something else. You just hear things in passing. Or you're in meetings, and they suddenly just call your name. You say, hey, why do you call my name? Because we are not listening. Hallelujah. Amen. So every time we come together, let's make that, let's be intentional. Now look, there has to be a difference between the person that did not listen at all and me that I'm here listening. Hallelujah. There has to also be a difference between the person that is online, hallelujah, and the person that is here physically. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But what is critical and what is important is that both sets of people, either online or physically, are drawing from God. Amen. And I think two Thursdays ago, that was ministering, that we talked about the fact that when he ripped the veil, when he said it is finished and he ripped the veil, God did not step out of the veil. Hallelujah. Amen. What was expected to happen is that we go beyond the veil and reach out to that throne of mercy. Amen. So once you are given access, unfettered access to anything and anything at all, you need to take good care of this. I think all these ceremonial gathering of families. I think it was maybe first day of the year or something. We all gathered in my wife's hometown, and one of our uncles came and said, I've not seen you in a while, blah, blah, blah. I opened his account, opened his online banking, and gave her the phone, and then started to type in any figure that she wanted. Hallelujah. And she got what her faith, because whatever you type, the man didn't change what she typed. She just typed it, and then he just sent it. So he had it open, and then he just typed it in, and he just sent it. So if you have typed more than that, you have gotten more than that. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that when you have access, it's not greed. Hallelujah. Especially when it comes to God. When you have access, it's not greed. Okay? So somebody is saying, just tell me anything and anything. Are you sure it's anything? Amen. Don't limit yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. But don't be sure that I don't ask you to ask me for anything. No. You can ask God for anything. He's the one that has supplies. Amen. That is more than enough. That's why it's called, you call him God Almighty El Shaddai. Amen. Yeah. That is more than enough. You know that song? More than enough is El Shaddai, God of plenty, the all-sufficient one, Lord God Almighty. He is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. More than enough is El Shaddai, God of plenty, the all-sufficient one, Lord God Almighty. He is more than enough. Amen. So my question to us this evening is that what is the use of knowledge to you? Okay, what's the essence of knowledge when you get knowledge? So if you look at a child's trajectory in life, okay, and I think all parents owe, well, if they didn't do the right thing, they owe every child an apology. Because what we just do to every child is that we bundle them at a very tender age as if we are taking them to kindergarten. Well, if they didn't bundle you, I was carried, I was just bam, kindergarten. And then you suddenly find yourself in the arms of strangers. And then they will now complain that this child doesn't like going to school. Why would he like going to school? Because they are strangers. Yes, you're not used to them. And you didn't even have the courtesy to explain to the child that, I cannot see you sit at home with you. I cannot take care of you. I mean, you just carry him, boom, and put it, and then you expect him to just, you just expect the child to just be happy in somebody else's house. If he's that happy, then you should know that you're a bad person. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe after a while, maybe 3 days, 4 days, it should be. But I mean, the first 1 week, he should be crying. And then, in fact, when you bring him back home the next that day, he should decide that he's not going to wake up just like this. He's tapping him. He just decided that I'm not going to respond. You just you know when we play those dangerous games when we're young, and then if you don't want your brother to beat you, you just fall down. You just carry on. You just let it drop. Bam. I'm just joking. And then from there, the journey of that child and his trajectory all changes, right? And then you begin to push him, you take him to from crèche, you take him to kindergarten, then you go to primary, and then he goes to secondary. And then you begin to wonder why the child is playful, or why the child cannot see the reason why. Because from the get-go, you did not explain to him that this has to be, well, this is designed to be your journey. Amen. You know, when you watch, when we were growing up, we were watching these two sisters, these American tennis players, the two sisters, Venus and Williams. For those that know, you know Venus, I know Williams, Serena. Which one is older? Venus, not Mars. I think at the point, the father decided that no, they were not going to go to school because he wanted them to continue in that line, and he just kept doing homeschooling for them, But then that thing that he was still training them for, they understood that this is the end point. So this is the way that we are going. Hallelujah. Well, you know, basically, everybody just goes, carry your child to school, so what is the essence of this school that you're going to? When he gets to primary one, nobody tells. You just say, yeah, you just be shouting. Yeah, you're not serious. You're not doing this thing. You're not scoring good marks. What's his business? No, it's just like, you know, going to school is just like when children go to the playground. You know, when children go to the playground, some of them will just stand like this. And they'll be looking at others. Some of them will sit down and dig the sand, bury themselves in the sand,
cover themselves up in the sand, and they'll be happy. You know? And some of them, everybody just takes whatever and flows with whatever he wants to flow with. The same thing happens when they go to school. Because some of them just look at it and somebody's writing on the board and he's shouting and he's screaming and he's saying, do you understand? I say, yes. Just know that it's the same way that they are on the playground, that they are in the classroom. Now, nobody to explain anything to him because now somebody is trying to pass across knowledge. But he doesn't understand that this knowledge has to be in building blocks. So they will tell you that whatever you do in primary one, you do in primary two, whatever you do in primary one or year one is the foundation for year two, blah, blah, blah. Nobody really understands that. Okay? Nobody. The very exceptional ones that seem to understand. Okay. When they get to a point, you find out that they may be efficient in this side, and then they are deficient in the other areas, the social areas. They cannot play, they cannot do anything. Everything is just to book. I can't live that kind of life. Oh. I can't. Hallelujah. Well, it's too late. I can't go back. Because I neither live like that. Amen. Because what you just keep wondering. So what is the essence of this adventure that these people have forced me to go into? Now, the same thing when it comes to knowledge. You have to be careful. So we come to church every time. Okay. Thank God for all of us that are here and those that are online and those that will listen. We come to church every time. Or we go to church every time. For them that are online, for us that are here, we come to church every time. We come. Some go to church every time. It's just all of them in our semantics. Okay? Now, then we listen to the word of God every time. Hallelujah. And then the question is, to what gain? Amen. To what gain? And that's why I was asking you, okay, so what did you get from anniversary that was, in Ibadan? And it was interesting. I saw my picture of 29 years ago. I saw a picture of 29 years ago, and it was amazing. But, you know, so you begin to ask yourself the question. So, and that's why I was also saying that, look, let there be a difference. If you are here, you are here. Let there be a difference between the person that was here and heard the word of God and the person that wasn't. That's when you'll be doing justice to what you have heard. Amen. In the book of Matthew, I read from verse 1, Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1. The Bible says, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him. Let me read it again. It says, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Amen. So who have they come to worship? Answer me now. Who have they come to worship? Huh? This is Azajiri. They must have told him before taking him to school that this school you are going. I said, who is it that they are referring to? You know, did you hear what he said? He said, baby Jesus. He said, this is Jesus. he wants to be sure that I'm not trying to catch him. it's a car is born. Don't worry, I just wanted to be sure that you know the person that they were talking about, that they were referring to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So they said that, where is he who has been born? Okay, oh, don't worry, verse 2. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. Hallelujah. They have come
to worship him. And if I go by Mr. Sajid's definition or Pastor Divine's definition of who the character we are referring to, he says he was just someone that was born. He's baby Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The one that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But by the time these guys came, he was no longer in swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. So if you read it further down, it will tell you that they now came into the house where the young child was. And then if you look at it, if you trace the story, okay, they traced the star and then they got to where they were, okay? Where did they get to? Where are they? Verse 1. They came to Bethlehem of Judea, okay? So from wherever they were coming from the east, they traveled and came to Bethlehem, okay? Now, immediately that baby was born, baby Jesus of Pastor Divine, immediately that baby was born, okay, they started moving. They started moving. And then they got to where the star would lead them to. And so between the time that the baby was born and the time they got to where the star would lead them to, time had passed. Hallelujah. Time had passed. About 2.5 years had passed. And if you go to Revelation, it talked about the fact that for a season, for another season, and then half a season. So about 2.5 years had passed when the baby was born. Hallelujah. Okay, this is Bible. This is booster service. Let us help Mrs. Sajiri. So, let us help Mrs. Sajiri. So, verse 8. It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? So, it was, by the time they got there, it was in the house where the young child was. But when was Jesus born? Abini Bujero. He was born in a manger. Hallelujah. Where does the Bible say, where does this scripture say they went to see him? They said they came to... No, now is it there? So they came. No, where was I? They departed and just seen the east. No, verse 8. No, what did I read? Verse 11. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if you go back again, if you go back further up, go to from verse 3. If you go to from verse 3, when Herod was going to give his instruction, Herod said, look, what time did those guys say they saw the star? And what time are we? And then what did he say? He said they should take out all the male child from which age? Well, I find it now. Okay, so if I read from verse 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and in all districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Okay, so he looked at it. And you see, that's why you need to have an understanding of times and seasons. Okay? All right? And I stand to be corrected. For every time you see a star now, every time you look up in the sky and you see a star, that star is not blinking now. Are you getting me? When you look up like this and you see a star, that star is not blinking now. Now, as in, what time is it now? Give me digital time. 7:10. If I look up and see a star at 7:10, it does not mean the light I'm seeing now is the light, is that light from that star. The light I'm seeing now is light that has been traveling from that star for some days or some years. Hallelujah. It's all physics. Amen. So light travels at what speed? Ooh, tell me. Hello. Light travels at what speed? This terminology should know. What is the speed of light? Ah. All of you are not science students. How much is tomato? One mound. Eh? One basket of tomato. What is the speed of light? What is the distance between the earth and the sky? Okay, let me tell you something. Let us do something very simple. If this road between here and the door is 10 meters and I'm running at 10 meters per second, what time will I get to that door? Hold on. If from here to that door is 10 meters and I'm running 10 meters every second, when will I get to that place? 1 second. Exactly. Good. If this from here to here is 10 meters and I'm running 1 meter every second, how long will it take me to get to that place? Mr. Jerry got it too. She said 10. And she's very right. It's 10 seconds. Because if it's 10 meters and I'm doing 1 second per meter, per 1 meter per second, it will take me 10 seconds to get there. So that's, I just want to tell you that for you to know, light from here to the sky, there's thousands of kilometers. And then the speed of light is 3 times 10 raised to the power minus what? All these children. See, I should just send children to go to school. You just bond to them. Carry them, go to school. Don't worry, I didn't know all these things then when they were teaching me. It was like, my mom used to say that, why is your head so spongy? Hallelujah. Even if you don't know, there is AI to tell you. Oh yeah, what is the speed of light? Three times 10 raised power, minus 8. Eh? It's minus 8. So that means tell you that when light starts traveling and it's going to come to the earth, it's not coming to the earth, it immediately gets here. Hallelujah. It's not as a chance that it gets here. It takes a while for it to get here. So they were following, and I'm just telling you to tell you that time, because when I said it, Mr. Jenny was looking at me like this. Don't worry about the things that we have told. Everybody knows that they took the gift to him in the manger. Don't worry. They just told us Bible stories. And I told you 2 weeks ago that those stories were fine, okay? They told us so that we can understand that these things happen. And then it's not that we are sitting down and saying, oh, if you really look at it, and that's why, and that is the only reason. If it was a baby in a manger when those wise men came, Herod would not take out 2 years and below. And then, of course, it was already in the house. If he wasn't in the house, the ones that they saw him as a baby, were who? Who were they? Mr. Shade got that one. Were the shepherds. They left everything they were doing and they went to see him. Hallelujah. But you see, of what use is knowledge if you're not going to do anything now, anything worthwhile with it? So these men, they call them wise because if you read, they said they are magis. Okay? They will study, the astrologers. They studied the stars. They understood the placement of the stars and everything. So they had knowledge. Okay? And they could tell that this, once we see this particular star, is going to lead us to where the king is born. Amen. Now, a lot of us, I posted something on the men's group some days ago. Let me read it to you. Men. He says, this quote is, let me, so that they don't catch me for, is by Woody Bottram. He says, our worship is not a response to how Jesus makes us feel. Our worship is a response to Jesus' worth, regardless of how we feel. Our worship is not a response to how Jesus makes us feel. Hallelujah. He says, our worship is a response to Jesus' worth, regardless of how with you. Amen. Those wise men, they came. It wasn't, it was just a boy. It was just born. Yet they worshipped. He hadn't done anything for them. He had not opened their eyes that were blind, or he had stretched any lame land in front of them. Hallelujah. They just understood, okay, by the knowledge they could get from everything they were studying, that this is the Savior that we have been waiting for. And then they traveled. It's like me getting up now and saying, I'm going to Abuja and I'm going by foot. I'm going to see whatever. Something has happened in Abuja and I must get there. Or even if I decide to drive my car, or even I decide to go and take the aeroplane, I'm getting up and I'm saying, there's a child in Abuja that is worthy of worship. Then it's profound, it's deep, it's beyond what the child has done. It is about who the child is. Hallelujah. And until you have that kind of knowledge, you can't worship that child. If you go back to verse 1, verse 2, the same Matthew 2, verse 1, verse 2. Now it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, who is he who has been born king of the Jews? They were not asking amiss. They're simply following the knowledge that they've gotten. So if we come regularly to his table, to God's table, to feed by his word, or to be fed by his word, okay, there will be a point in time where everything that we gather from that word must rise on the inside of us in response to what we see, because we have an understanding and then we have knowledge. There's no point me studying for an exam, in quotes, I have an exam, and I'm supposed to have an exam, and I'm studying, and then time for the exam comes, I don't show up to write the exam, and they ask me why. I said, because I know everything they are going to ask me. I am not going to get any score. Hallelujah. Or I show up at the exam room, I look at everything, and I'm like, oh, what's this one? I beg, another day. You need to present yourself with the knowledge that you have, so that knowledge that you have will actually be worth the while having. Amen. You know, God is very meticulous, and he knew everything that he was doing. He brings a man and a woman together and says, I found a helpmeet for you. Okay? And if you sit down carefully, when one is strong, the other one is not as strong. Let me not use the word weak, so that people will not start fighting me. Where one is strong, the other one is not as strong. Abi? So, if who can I use that to say? Let me use Mr. Droju. Last, Temiloluwa will settle a fight. Amen. So, if we get home, for instance, myself and my wife, and then we need to lift something heavy, okay? Even if she can lift it, she will say, Oga, this one will be easier for you to lift. And then I go there and I form strong man. Even if I can't carry it, I'll form strong man. Say, don't worry, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if we go to the kitchen, and I want to do something in the kitchen. No, don't touch it. Say, I'm forming a good wife. My husband must not touch anything. Now, everybody tries to understand that this is where my strength is. This is where our strength should be. So I get to the kitchen. I say, no, don't worry. I can do it. I say, okay, I'll just leave it. She will stand just a few steps away. And then when you start, say, hey, no, it's not like that. Amen. Because once you have that knowledge cannot sit down without being useful. Amen. You know the headache I had when I was learning to drive? My mother would come. She was the one that taught me to drive. So we would drive around the Ibadan, New Court Road, old Baggy, enter all those very tight, whatever. And then say, Oluwa, press the brake, press the brake. I said, I'm the one by the steering. Why is it you that wants to press the brake? Say, go, press the brake, press. So there was this particular junction, terrible junction. Idiakwe, Mary Hill, Iwo Road. It's like a wide junction like this.
One goes to, they're coming from Maryhill. One goes to War Road. The other one goes to Bashan Road. There's that junction there. There's a traffic light there now. That place is the very complicated. It's the survival of the fittest. And I was riding airplanes, and I looked all those down four all around. I looked at the way they drive. I see that those guys, number one, they don't look at you when they're driving. They will just be going, but they are looking at you with the corner of the eye. So I just said, well, I'm learning, so let's just try it. So that day, I was just going. I said, oh, look, what? They break. Oh, look. I said, mommy, you cannot survive if you continue to drive like this. Why? In her mind, I won't be able to handle it. But she knows the consequence because of the knowledge she has. Okay? That knowledge will be useless if she does not pass it across. Now, to these wise men, it would have been totally useless for them to have understood that the king will be born. And then he was born, they saw the star, and they did not make a move. So what was the essence of the knowledge? But today, they show us one thing. Now look, if you understand the purpose of the knowledge you are given, you don't need any other sign or any other miracle to follow that purpose and that vision. They worshipped the young man or the young child without that baby doing anything other than presenting himself as the king of the Jews. Amen. Don't wait that God is going to do something before you praise him. Don't wait that he's going to do something before you worship him. You worship him for who he is. Psalm 150, he says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. It's not about whatever you get or whatever you don't get. You know, people like vexing for God. Like, ah, this is God. He did not do what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry, we'll soon go home. You're tired. First Chronicles chapter 12. Believe there. First Chronicles chapter 12. And we'll read verse 32. So I think this thing started from the fact that they were going to go to war or something. If you read from previous verses, they were going to go to war. And they started listing of the house of Toby, 20 people, of the house of Bukola, 50 people, of the house of Sunday, 100 people, of the house of Divine, 1 million people, and all that, and all that. And then he came here and said, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Amen. So what's the essence of my reading this thing? It says, these guys, they had understanding of the times. What was their understanding of the times for? What was it for? What was it for? Thank you. To know what Israel ought to do. Amen. That's why they had the understanding of times. So it would be useless for them to have understanding of times, and they will not tell Israel that this is what you're supposed to do at this time. Hallelujah. The wise men had that knowledge and understanding. They said, this star has come out. And then the star led them. They traced the star and then led them to where to the house where the child was. No, he led them to the city where the child was. And then they began to ask. They went to Aaron and said, because they expected that the people around should have known that the child has been born. So they went to Aaron, the king. He was supposed to be happy now that Abby, the child has been born. But that didn't happen. Then he says, of the men of the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of times, so that they will know, to know what Israel ought to do per time, per season, at every instance. That's what the understanding of time was for. So you have knowledge of the scriptures. You should not be devoid of understanding of the things you ought to be doing. Hallelujah. Because even these ones, that we have a better promise than them, they understood
times, and they knew what they ought to be doing, and they were doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. You know, that's how they grew up. I mean, and that's how they passed it across from generation to generation. The ones that were priests, they knew that this is our lineage. The one that's supposed to be carrying the ark, they knew that we're supposed to carry the ark. And every other person knew that this is a no-go area. It's in this age and time that we are losing it. That everybody just thinks that, what is he doing himself? Is it not to carry the microphone and be talking about Jesus? Hallelujah. Forgetting the fact that there's a fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. Everybody fits into a body. But not everybody is the arm. And not everybody is the eye. Hallelujah. But the beauty of it is that whether you are the arm or the eye or the leg, none is useless. Hallelujah. Every one of them just need to have an understanding of who I am and what I ought to be doing. As a body or as an individual. You know, sometimes the thing, if you look at these five fingers, you would think that this one is not doing anything, this small one. Yeah, just try and keep it away from whatever you are doing and see how easy it is. Or you keep one and say, oh, I don't need this middle one. And see how easy it is to work with it. Amen. Hallelujah. So people have to have understanding of times. And you know that this is one of the things that Christ demonstrated in Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. It says, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Okay, so they got angry and then they said, guy, oh yeah. They pushed him to the brow of the what? Of the hill, so that they might throw him down the cliff. And the next verse, it says, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Hallelujah. And then I sat down and I began to wonder about these scriptures. They were the ones that took him to the brow of the hill. And then when they got there, you know, what else is left? It's not to toss him. And then he turns back and then walks through the middle of them. And then when I saw this scripture, I don't know what happened. Open to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 53. Matthew 28 verse 53. Oh, sorry, 26. Oh, sorry. My eye is... Have you heard that joke before? That man that was singing, you know, when you go to church, they normally call the hymn line by line. And then they gave this man, he was supposed to call out the hymn line by line. And then they gave him the hymn book. So he said, and the pastor said, the next hymn, let us all rise. And the man forgot his pair of glasses. Huh? And then people like Toby gave you. You know, in those days, when you press the note, everybody knows that the next thing you must start singing, you rise and then start singing. It's only the generation of Sunday them that don't give us. And then the man was, he didn't know the microphone was up. He just said, my eyes are blind, I cannot see. And everybody started singing, my eyes are blind, I cannot tell what I can read. My eyes can't, and everybody started singing everything they heard him saying. Hallelujah. So sorry for that. It's Matthew 28. I was not singing. Amen. He says, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Next verse. He says, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen? At this point, you know what happened at this point? They came to arrest him. And they were trying to fight. And he said, Abba, don't worry. I can command legion. So in Luke chapter 4 that we read, okay, and then they took him to the brow of the hill. They took him to the brow of the hill and then took him to the cliff. And when they got to the cliff, he simply walked past them. He must have commanded the angels. He must have commanded the legion and said, guys, it's not time. What are these people doing? I beg, let them just part the way and let me move. He says, I can't command. I don't need help from anybody. But because he understands his time, and he understands that, look, this is not the time for me to be, I'm not supposed to die by somebody throwing me off the cliff. Okay? Guys, I beg, call these guys to order. Let me pass. So the angels will just, everybody just pass. You know, they are big feather. They just do like this, bam, bam, and everybody just passes. Hallelujah. Don't worry. That's not in scripture. I'm just using that to explain. Amen. And then, so what I'm saying is that, in the first instance, he commanded the angels, okay? And then he could walk past them without, as though there was nobody there. In the second instance, because he had the knowledge and understanding that this is the hour has come, he restricted everybody from making sure that he was not arrested. He said, look, you don't need to fight. And he himself just gave himself up. Amen. Hallelujah. See the thing about God. And you have to be also be that deliberate about your work with God. You see, Christ, when his mother said the first miracle, whatever he tells you to do, you do. What did he tell his mother? You know, he says, you know, my time has not come. Telling you that even that miracle he performed, it was nothing to him. You see that miracle that we all look at and say, he turned wine, he turned water into the wine. He said, my time has not come. So even that little thing that he did, it was just out of, when you say, it's like when you're playing table tennis, you say, I give you five ahead. You know five ahead. Just taster, you guys. That was nothing compared to what he has gone to do. Because if he says his time has not come and he did that, that has nothing to do with what he had come to do. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to understand that everything becomes beautiful when? In what time? Are you sure? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, you have said you are sure. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful when? When? Which one? The people are doing this. I'm the only one that has stood gap here. I'm the only one that is allowed to do this. He says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out what work that God does from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. He made everything beautiful in its time. So something can stand here, and all of you look at it and say, what's this crap? That same thing will stand here, maybe 2 months' time, because it is time, everyone say, wow. I used to wonder how those models when I was growing up. I think it was the one that was, is it Lux? Patti Bulai. Which soap was Patti Bulai? It's Joy Soap. You cannot know. Do you know Joy Soap? Do you know Joy Soap? Do you know Patti Bulai? So, don't worry. Do you know Patti? So, I used to wonder those models. And somebody comes and say, wow, this is a fantastic model. There's no hair. It's all black. And then the clavicle, you know the clavicle? This neck bone will be sticking out. I said, wow, this is beauty. That's that person's time. Look at this. Beauty lies, it's not only in the eyes of the beholder. Who is the beholder?
I'll tell you later. So there was this man, let me just tell you before we go. There was this man that had a pet, like a chimpanzee. And he put chimpanzee at his back. And the chimpanzee was really, really, very ugly. Okay? And the guy was always like, always telling people that, look, my chimpanzee is very beautiful and all that. And then the day he brought the chimpanzee to the public, everybody looked at him and said, is this the chimpanzee that you're talking about? So everyone now said, look, beauty lies in the eye of the beholder and what is beholding. Because you have to look at me with the eye of beauty to see that beauty. Amen. So, and then some people, you know, artwork, I don't, honestly, it's me. It's not the people that have art. When they gather in the art gallery and they look at things, I don't see the things that they see. Hallelujah. But somebody will stand in that gallery and say, wow, I'm paying 50 million and he's taking it home. Abi, I go to my brother-in-law's house. He put some things on his wall. The head is like this. He say, that thing is speaking. I said, how is he speaking? Hallelujah. Let me take you to this one. So, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, was it verse 10 that says that it makes everything beautiful in its time. Not in God's time, in that thing's time. Psalm 1, verse 3 says, Don't worry, we'll soon go. Psalm 1, verse 3 says, it shall be, okay, let's start from verse 1. So we stop at verse 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Right? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit when? In its season. Hallelujah. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This tree brings forth its fruit in its season. Hallelujah. So we are the ones that count every year as a season, every year as a season, every year as a season. But everything has its own season. Hallelujah. Everything has its own season. And it is that season that God says it makes everything beautiful in its season. Amen. So if it's not in season, there's nothing beautiful to look out for because you will not see it. Nothing to propel it to it. What makes you turn is the God factor in it. Hallelujah. And what makes the difference when there's a God factor is the knowledge that you carry. Go to verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is counsel? Learned counsel. What is counsel? What is advice? What is the component of advice? Thank you. And when you have words, what do you have? Knowledge. Thank you. Mr. Saji, you do like a person with a peep. Word. Knowledge. I like this, Mr. Saji. Thank you very much. It says, the blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, okay? Nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So even if you don't believe that the counsel of the ungodly is about words, look at what it says in verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And in his law, he meditates night, day, and night. So that what happens? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. So the blessed man in verse 1 will be like a tree. And what does a tree do? Yeah, am I right? Yeah, what does the tree do? It brings forth its fruit in its season. That means that the blessed, the Verse 1. The blessed man or the righteous man or the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly will bring forth his own fruit in his season. Amen. So the knowledge you have is for a time and a season. Now, and that's why you cannot be devoid of knowledge, hallelujah, or empty of the word. Because one word for now, another word for the next second. That's how it works. Amen. That's why we say that you should study. Or the Bible admonishes us to study. Okay? And when we study, we will get different dimensions of God's word that will apply for different seasons of our life. And the words that we have taken, when the right season comes, you yourself will know. And then you begin to bring forth. But of what use is that knowledge? If when it is time for you to bring forth this season, you do not know. He says you meditate in verse 2. He says he meditates in this law day and night. Meditation is a serious thing. It's not that you saw this thing now and say, okay, he meditates in this day and night. No, it's a serious matter. Have you ever raised a ram before? Ram or goat? You didn't have the privilege. So you didn't kill ram for your 50th birthday. You guys were not that tush, or you were not that rich for your 10th birthday. Well, see, Mr. Sajidian. So it was customary for me, as well as we were then, that if someone is doing 10th birthday or 40th birthday, they will buy a ram. And then we tie it, and we buy the ram. When we buy the ram, they keep it for 5 days. So we'll be feeding the ram. You go and carry grass, feed it. Then you want, in the evening, the ram will just sit down, go, and they will start chewing. There's nothing you want to do to that ram. He will sit down, and he start chewing. Then you begin to wonder. Until I was taught in integrated science, the rams or the herbivores. Maybe they are herbivores. They have 4 stomachs. So that when they are cutting, they stop somewhere. And then when they are tired of storing, they now regurgitate. And then they begin to masticate. That's what meditation is. When you pick all the words that you are hearing, you hear one scripture as you are going to the office this morning, you hear another one on your way from office, you hear one in the office. When you pick the three at night, you sit down and then you look at the three of them deeply. That's when you bring them out. And then you begin to digest them. Now, you cannot digest them by chewing your cord. You need to look at the scripture and then you begin to find out why these things are happening. Amen. It is your season when you have the right word and you are able to understand that this is the time for this word. So when you choose to go into any venture, that's why you always have to ask the know-how on the inside. That am I supposed to launch out into the deep, or am I supposed to stay? That's so important. Knowledge that is not put to use is a waste. The wise men put their knowledge to use. Today we will always remember them for the gifts that they brought. Abi. And we'll always remember them that they're the ones that didn't go back to Herod. Otherwise, another drama would have happened. Hallelujah. But beyond that, I've shown you today that they neither experienced the power of the baby, nor could fathom what the baby will do, but they just understood that this is the King of the Jews as appointed from time immemorial. So they knew that, look, everything. It's just like when you have a seed. Just have a seed of apple, seed of orange. You know that seed is as good as having an apple if you put it in the right environment. Hallelujah. Or the seed is as good. That one, apple is too, how am I talking apple? Corn. That one is more useful for us. Abi? So the president said we should eat corn. What corn and what are we supposed to eat?
Eh? Corn and garri. Don't they say corn and garri? Corn and coconut. How? Is that what Mr. President said about? Anyway, what I'm saying now, look, gather all the knowledge you have. And say, but I know that he's my provider. I know that he's my very pleasant help. Every word that you have, there's a season for it. And you have to understand that time so that you can bring out that word in that season. Hallelujah. Nobody here is meant to pass through life without having an impact. But some people will pass through life without having an impact because they could not recognize their time. Because there was what something was missing. They had no word of God on the inside of them. The man that meditates day and night is the one that will bring forth his fruit in his season, not the one that sits in the council of the ungodly. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's very important. Now, what is the essence of knowledge if you're not going to put it to use? And you know, that's why when you go to secondary school, then they get to senior secondary, say, okay, begin to drop subjects. Because of what use is it to study those things when you are not going to make use of them in the near future? I was talking to one, the guy is on, what do you call it, internship. Yesterday in the office. And I said to him, the guy wasn't feeling fine. So I said to him, I said, why are you acting like a radioactive element? The guy looked at me and said, I said, do you know what a radioactive element is? He said, no. I said, do you know the degenerating factor for a radioactive element? He said, no. I said, but you're just in the university. He said, I said, well, where do we study radioactive element? He said, chemistry. I said, well, chemistry and physics, right? Am I right? I said, what's a radioactive element? And what's the lifetime of a radioactive element? Right? Is every time it mutates, we call it half-life. So when it mutates, it's half-life. Then it does that again, it's half-life. So every time I see someone that's feeling sick, I say, you're being like radioactive element. You're dropping life. But you know, what shocked me the most was that I learned this thing about 33 years ago. I could recall it. He studied the same thing I studied though. He's in part four. He cannot remember. And I'm like, of what use is all these things? If the least thing to do is to remember. Eh? It's not like if I ask Desola now, say, Desola, oh yeah, come and do balance sheet for me. And she's telling me, what's balance sheet? I'll go and look for Keno because the money to send her to school is not easy. You cannot be forgetting. Knowledge has to be with you, stay with you. Now, that's knowledge of physical science. The knowledge of God's things. That's why he says that he will send the Holy Spirit and he will bring to remembrance everything, all that I've done what? Taught you. Why? So that when the time comes, you will bring forth the right word for now. You won't be a situation of dire need, in quote, and then you'll be weeping. Because you have a word for that season or for that time, and you're able to rise. He says, of the sons of Issachar, he says, they have the understanding of times so that they can tell Israel what to do in every circumstance. Amen. The Bible really says that they're going to tell Israel what to do when Syria comes calling, or what to do when the Philistines come coming. He says that. You didn't give me. I think it's First Chronicles. He says they can tell Israel what they ought to do. Now we don't need the sons of Issachar anymore. Hallelujah. Because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Amen. He says it will bring to remembrance everything that Lord has taught us. And the things that the Lord, God, Jesus did not sit down to teach you and I. Hallelujah. He did sit down to teach you and I. Romans 15 verse 4. Everything that was written before, they were written for our learning. So everything that he was able to pass across to the disciples, that's what we are picking up and we are reading. And he's shedding light and his revelation. Amen. He says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Hallelujah. They had understanding of the times. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have an understanding. And we cannot be devoid of answers. We should not. Hallelujah. Because we must call to remembrance that which we had been taught. Let's rise to our feet. Everybody is sleeping. Let's rise. Let's rise. When the right time is, Jesus will call upon the angels. He says, do not think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled if it was happened to us? Hallelujah. He's saying that if he did that, he will alter what the word of God is saying. But he has the capacity to do it. Amen. And if you have the same capacity, he says, you have a like mind, the same mind of Christ. He says in Genesis chapter 1, he says that we should go what? To go and reproduce and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. To go and have dominion over everything that he has created. So whatever knowledge you have, you have to know what you ought to do by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. Let's talk to God this evening and thank him, because you're not going to be devoid of answers anymore, because what you know is not for you to store up and be in the dark. It says the entrance of his word, it brings light and understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So when there is the word, there is light. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and that life was the light of men. Amen. It says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. Amen. That life, okay, that life that he had, it was the light of men. Talk to him. And as you pick up the scriptures, as you come across the scriptures, as the light enters into you, that indeed you are able to know what to do per time. Hallelujah. Because you're not just picking it, you are digesting it, and you're meditating upon it, and you're waiting for the time to bring it forth. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for everything that you have given to us. Thank you for the Spirit of God that is on the inside of us. It has set us apart. That's why we are called sanctified. We have been set apart. There is a difference. Hallelujah. Because we know what we ought to do and we are doing. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.